Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can send us your questions at radio@faithalone.org. Now, today's question, we actually have two of them. Pretty interesting. First one is, will there be second-class citizens in heaven? Also, how will we be occupied in the kingdom of heaven? You ever been afraid of being bored forever in heaven? Well, we're going to address that and more, of course, on today's episode of Grace in Focus. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. We so appreciate you when you write to us at radio@faithalone.org. So many people have written to give us encouraging words saying how much they appreciate the podcast and the blogs and the other ministries that we do. And it just really encourages us because we also get a lot of the people on the other side of things.
We occasionally get a little quasi-hate mail.
We get some discouraging emails. But in ministry, I think you have to, it's kind of a fine balance between having just thick skin and just, you know, having a clear conscience and not letting the criticism bother you, but also having to be open to correction when we're wrong, and we do get things wrong.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it seems to me part of growth in ministry is recognizing the difference between somebody who's just venting against what we've said, not because what we said was unbiblical, but because it doesn't fit their paradigm.
Right.
As opposed to people who are upset with us because we've gotten it wrong.
Right.
Or because we haven't been clear.
Right.
And in those cases, we have an obligation to correct ourselves, and we do that because sometimes we misstate things. Sometimes we're just flat out wrong, but we try never to be wrong.
Right.
The truth is, I think we get it right most of the time, but we're glad for our listeners, and in the case of our blogs or our magazine or our books, our journal, the readers, we're glad when they point out things we've done that are wrong because we don't want to leave things uncorrected. So have you found something like that?
No, I was just thinking in general terms.
Well, I find that the questions that we get sharpen us a lot.
Right.
Because they keep us on our toes.
Yeah.
This kind of interaction is very helpful.
Well, here's a question from Nathaniel. The title is Second Class Citizens in Heaven, and here's what he says. He says, I read your blog, The Difference Between God's Acceptance and His Approval. I think
that's my blog.
Yours, right?
Yes, well, here I go.
Okay. So this is the spotlight is on you. And by the way, you should sign up for our blog at faithalone.org. Some of our best stuff, maybe our best stuff, comes from those blogs. We get a lot of, I mean, it's just growing and growing and growing, and there's a lot of people start off their days with those things because a lot of blogs that you find are just kind of fluffy. You know, there's kind of a lot of fluffy Christian blogs out there.
They're telling you about buying toilet paper at Costco or how they were lucky to get some paper towels.
Now, sometimes
I can tell you about that too.
But it's kind of, you know, kind of more feel-goody type, encouragement type blogs. But our blogs are, they're going to make you think, you know, they're going to make you think about the Bible and theology. And some are tougher than others. But
I would recommend them. I think they're helpful. And they're relatively short.
Yeah.
Typically between 500 and 1,000 words.
Yeah, yeah. So I read your blog, The Difference Between God's Acceptance and His Approval. My question is, what's the purpose of believers who don't get God's approval? What's the purpose of believers who don't get a crown and don't get invited to the wedding party? Will they get to talk with Jesus or God? Will they get a chance in all eternity to gain God's approval? Will they be treated less for being second-class citizens and never be able to move up in the afterlife?
Okay, those are a bunch of good questions.
Nathaniel.
First of all, let me answer the purpose question. I don't think he quite means that, but let me answer it, and then I'll answer what I think he's asking. In terms of the purpose of every Christian, every believer, it's to glorify God. Our purpose in this life and in the life to come is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ fully. And the more we glorify Him, the better. There's no question but that our purpose is to bring glory and honor to Him and to His name. And when we do that, guess what? That brings great joy to us. It brings abundance of life to us now and in the life to come. I think what he means, though, is not so much what's our purpose, but I think his point is, okay, what is this unapproved believer going to do forever? If he's not approved, is he going to just be sitting on the sidelines for all of eternity?
Right, and so if our purpose, as you say, is to glorify God or bring glory to him, can a quote-unquote second-class citizen be able to do that for eternity?
Well, I don't like the expression second-class citizen, since nowhere in Scripture is that discussed. However, there is a last class and a first class.
Least in the kingdom.
The first shall be last, the last shall be first.
Yeah.
So there are some people who in the church age are going to be the people who are highly exalted. You know, they have these great fancy ministries and things. Of course, some of the televangelists aren't even born again, but let's say they are. They may have huge ministries and huge churches and fly on fancy jets and everything else, and yet they may be last in the kingdom.
Right.
And there are some people who are widow women, who are shut-ins, who are prayer warriors.
Totally unknown.
Nobody knows about them, and they're going to be first in the kingdom.
Right.
So I don't like second-class, the idea of second-class citizens, though, but my point would be this. Every single believer is going to glorify God forever.
Right.
There won't be such a thing as someone who is not glorifying him. However, how much we glorify him is going to depend on what we do with what God has given us in this life. To whom much is given, much is required. So if you've been given a lot, and you have, a lot's going to be expected of you. And if at the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord comes back and says, well, Sean, you've done an awful lot, but I gave you 5 talents, and I expected you to come up with 10 talents worth of ministry, and you only came up with 6. Someone else, I gave 1 talent, and they came up with 2. They've done much more with the 1 I gave them than you did with the 5 I gave you.
Right.
And so the key is for us to be maximally effective. Of course, when I use an illustration like that, I'm talking about people who are going to be approved. These are people who are going to rule and reign. But the unapproved people or disapproved people are going to be people who do not persevere in faith and good works until the end of their lives.
Yeah.
And those people won't hear, well done, good and faithful servant.
They'll be in the kingdom.
They'll be in the kingdom, but they're not going to rule. Now, what will they do? Well, I have other messages on this, but what I suggest is we're all going to have various tasks to do. For example, it seems to me the greatest paintings that will ever be painted haven't been painted yet.
Yeah.
The greatest plays that have ever been written haven't been written yet.
Right.
The greatest books have not been written yet, other than the Bible, of course. But, I mean, the greatest secular books have not yet been written. The greatest architecture has not yet been designed.
Basically, what you're saying is, I mean, a lot of people think that heaven is going to be this platonic, spiritual, ethereal type of thing. You're saying, no, the afterlife, or, you know, this the next life is going to be, it's going to be human culture that is growing just the way God intended in Eden.
Exactly. We get a new earth
and
a new heavens. And with this new earth, there are going to be a lot of already made buildings, right? There's going to be buildings made of gold. The new Jerusalem is already going to be made. In fact, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I think that's the new Jerusalem.
Right.
However, I think the rest of the planet, people are going to be designing buildings. People are going to be designing roads.
Right.
People are going to be designing vehicles.
Because that's what God wanted for Adam and Eve.
Right.
He wanted them on a physical earth, having children, growing, extending the garden, extending dominion, ruling.
Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion.
That's plan A, and we're getting back to plan A.
Right.
And so what you're saying is, I mean, there's going to be artists in the kingdom and economists and people running businesses probably and having families and taking care of kids and maybe schools. I mean, are there going to be schools and just culture?
Of course, there's a question as whether there will be children born on the new earth. A lot of people don't think so, but there is a stream of thought that suggests that at the end of the millennium, people in natural bodies who are believers will not be passing a sin nature on to their children, so that there could be children born who were innocent, like Adam and Eve before the fall. And these people could go on to the new earth with natural bodies, and the kingdom could be ever expanding. Some people understand Isaiah 9 that way. As to the increase of his government, there shall be no end.
Mm.
That's highly questionable. I happen to think it's true, but I can't prove it. And maybe it's not. But in any case, there's going to be billions of people on the new earth, probably hundreds of billions, so many so that I imagine we'll build spacecraft and we'll travel through the universe, or maybe we won't even need spacecraft. We'll just go, here I go, jump through a wormhole, and there I am on the
I know, this is coming to a shock.
I'm sorry.
To a lot of people.
Yeah.
This doesn't get discussed. It gets discussed in dispensational circles, and in Bible conferences, where, and you know, maybe right. maybe in classrooms.
I discuss some of this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, and in the chapter on heaven, I discuss the fact that's not where we're going to spend eternity. It'll be the new earth, and I even discuss this question of whether there will be children born. But coming back to what the people do who are not the approved people, well, they're going to glorify God and serve God in their occupation, whatever it is, but they're not going to be part of the government.
Well, so that's a good point. They're going to have an occupation where they can serve God. It's just not going to be in the government.
Well, so far you haven't been in the government here on earth, have you, Sean?
I've not, but I am in my HOA.
Okay.
Kind of architectural committee. So,
you are? Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. Well, I've never even been in the architectural committee. I was a ball monitor in fourth grade, I think. But aside from that...
I don't know. What is a ball monitor?
That's where you would be in charge of bringing back the kickball after recess.
Okay.
I also was in the Student Senate 1 year in college. So, okay, I have a little bit of government experience, okay. But that's it. But the truth is... The fact that I'm not in the government today doesn't mean I have a meaningless life, right? Well, in the same...
Well, I don't know.
Okay, thank you, Sean. But in the life to come, we're all going to want to be ruling with Christ.
It's kind of like almost being part of the aristocracy in the world to come.
It will be. It's going to be ruling with Christ. That's going to be important, and God wants that for all of us. But the truth is, not every believer from the church age is going to be ruling, but all of them will be serving.
Yes.
And all of us are going to be completely happy and joyful over our role.
Yes.
Now, does that mean we won't wish that we had done more with this life? No. Of course, I think we will experience some sense of, if we're not a ruler, we're going to say, well, I wish I had been, but we'll be completely content because discontent would be sin. And there's going to be no sin in the kingdom. So we'll be perfectly happy and joyful. But some people will be happier and more joyful.
Right.
And my hope for every one of you is that one day you're going to hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant, because that's what you want, and that's what I would want for you. That's what I would want for me, for my wife, for my friends, for my family, for everyone that's a believer in Christ, is that we have our maximum experience in the life to come.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about being forgiven, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.